All right. Thank you for the honor. I don't take this lightly. And I do say, I know what this does in me as I prepare. Tom got to die 1,000 deaths in a week that precedes it. And I'm not kidding. This is very serious. I take this seriously. I believe this is a word from God for our church. I just believe this is a word from God for our region. And so I would encourage you, I'm not saying this in pride, that's not who I am, to take notes. It's okay to take your phone out and just let's listen and hear, and I'm going to learn what God has to say myself. Amen? Amen. So we're going to start in Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to read in verse 4, okay? I'm going to assume that everyone here has listened or been present during the messages in the last weeks, and you already know what Pentecost is. So let's just begin in Acts chapter 1, verses 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Now, they were there with him hearing this. It is okay to use your imagination. God gave us an imagination. Put yourself in this picture. Therefore, when they had come together, they were listening to him. When they had come together, they asked him, saying, this is the apostles, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Now put yourself in here. They had witnessed his crucifixion and his violent death, and they knew he had risen from the grave. And here he was standing before them again. And he had appeared to them on many occasions, it says in those earlier verses in Acts. So they were all gathered together with Jesus. Okay? They had no idea what was coming. Nor do we. And they said to him, "Lord, is this the time when you will be restoring the kingdom to Israel? Right here in our own city, restoring the glory of Israel and destroying Roman oppression?" They thought they had it all figured out. Sometimes we think we have it all figured out. This has to be the time. We've been with him since the beginning. Certainly we will have some privilege and some position. What will be our role? What's he going to give us? What will he give us? They wanted comfort. They wanted comfort, not power. Write that down. We can be just like them. Pretty comfy in here, isn't it? Nobody answered me. It's pretty comfort in here, isn't it? Okay, it's comfortable. I'm not very comfortable up here, but it's comfortable in here. Let's continue. Verse 7. And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and to the ends of the earth." And now when he said these things, when he said them to, they were looking at him, he was taken up to heaven. Picture that, church. He just said, "You will receive power. It's not for you to know the time or the season." And they watched him blast off. I remember Pastor Keith did that up here years ago. He blasted off. "Where are you going?" He was gone. They had no idea what was coming. The kingdom he was speaking about was not going to be a military conquest. What's going to take America will not be a military conquest. It will not be a political conquest. It's going to be a spiritual complex conquest, one soul at a time. Whether 3,000 later in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, or one heart at a time, church.
Yes, Lord.
One heart. One heart. It would take place by the transformation within one heart at a time. The power and the presence of the Holy Spirit indwelling them, empowering to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, baptizing them and making disciples.
Amen. Yeah.
That's God's plan. That's the plan. Yep. Look at Acts 28, Mark 16. That, the plan. And it's not what they expected. He would give them power and spiritual boldness to speak up, to stand up, and go out. We're going somewhere with this. It was not what they wanted. Write this down. It was not what they wanted, but it was what they needed to accomplish his mission. Now think about this. Help, Lord. The Romans were suspicious of them. The Jewish leaders thought they had taken care of this nuisance by crucifying Christ and scattering disciples. And we're going out there? Where are you going, Lord? He blasted off into the sky. And so what they were saying was, this is for us too. What about us? What about us? Didn't Jesus say he would send us the Comforter? You remember that, guys? Guys. Didn't he say he would send us the Helper or the Counselor after he left to help us through a difficult situation when things get really tough and when life gets uncertain? Like right now. Today. Today. I know what this is like. He did say the Comforter would come. Listen, I don't have time to tell you my whole story, but there was a time in my walk, and there's a time that's going to come, where I needed comfort. I came to Christ in the middle of a broken marriage. Everything fell apart. I needed God. I remember saying those words, and I didn't even know what I was saying. And then when God restored me through that, okay, I got married again. He restored me. He restored it all. Two wonderful kids. One's here today. Got adopted a daughter. It's a great story. And then 6 or 7 years into that marriage, there was a diagnosis that came out of nowhere. Unexpected. We were growing. We were moving. We were working in the church. It was unexpected. I needed comfort again. And that comfort, that Holy Spirit, came through many of the people who are sitting in these seats. Thank you for that. It's because of you that me and my sons during that time were able to move forward. But there was a season. Now, it never goes away if you've lost somebody and you're close. It doesn't go away. But that comfort for that time was a season. You getting this? Yep. Not a day goes by that I don't think of that. But I got comfort and was able to move through it. Listen to me. I wanted to quit at those times. I wanted to walk away. And I felt like if anybody had the right to walk away, it's me. Look what I've been doing for you, God. Comfort. He comforted me. Holy Spirit bound up my wounds. Psalm 147, he heals the brokenhearted, Isaiah 61 and Luke 4. We cast our cares upon him and he sustains us, Psalm 55. He brings peace and deliverance, he restores. It's a step-by-step process. Listen to me. It's a step-by-step process through life. It's a step-by-step. It's a step-by-step. It's a step-by-step. That's critical. Holy Spirit is the Comforter. He is the Helper. Jesus said those words and that he would lead and guide us into all truth, but there's so much more. In the coming of the Holy Spirit, God gave us what we need, not what we want, at just the right time. Amen. Good. Now, we can be just like the disciples. We want the warm bed. That'd be pretty nice right now. Our plan in our time, not power. We want comfort all the time. It's comfy in here, like I said. It's secure inside these walls. It's like a foxhole in here. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, it's like a foxhole. It can become like that. But foxholes are never safe. What do you mean foxholes are safe? Foxholes are never safe. You ever see a foxhole? What's the first thing you want to do to a foxhole? You want to fill it in. Foxholes are never safe. The enemy knows where we are. Eventually, they get overrun. And at some point, you got to get out of the foxhole and advance. I'd rather stay inside. It's safe out here, or safe in here. I get that one. In Matthew chapter 10, this is incredible. In Matthew chapter 10, when Jesus sent the disciples out, he said, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead. And later on in verse 16, it says, guess what, guys? I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. That doesn't sound so safe to me. Whoever said God is safe? Whoever said that? John, put that slide up. Whoever said God is safe? The last one, the Narnia one. This is Lucy talking to the beaver. This should be in the Bible. This is good. She's asking about the Lion of Judah. And she says, and she asks him if he's safe. And the beaver says, safe? Whoever said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good. Yes. He's good, I tell you. He's the Lion. He's the King. He's good. Church, say that. God is good. He's a good, good God. Now, let's look at what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. We've got to move on. John 14, I'm going to go through these quick. John 14, 16. And I will pray, Jesus said, and I will give you another helper, he that may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Another of the same kind, that's the Holy Spirit. Another of the same nature, not different, just like Jesus. Another of the same quality, wow! John 14, 26. But the Helper, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you in all things and bring remembrance to you things, all things I said to you. The Helper, sent by the Father to teach us and remind us all things that Christ said. John 15, 26. Jesus said, but when the Helper, he's speaking to the disciples. You think they get this. But when the Helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, whoa, he will testify of me. That's a word from God right there. He will testify of me. The Helper, the Spirit who will testify of me. He will bear witness of one who has seen or heard and give a good report. John 16, 7. Again, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Spirit will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. They didn't think of that when he rose up. Profitable. Advantage means it's profitable. Because he could be with us everywhere. Indwelling all of the believers. Everywhere they went. Every step they took. Jesus was limited. He limited himself. In his time and in time and space that he created in the person of Jesus Christ. But when the Spirit of God comes, it will be more profitable to you so that the things that you've seen me do, you will do greater things, which doesn't mean greater than raising someone from the dead. It means greater in quantity. Quantity. Because there's little Jesuses, which I'm looking at right now, who walk the earth and are available by the power of the Spirit of God to lay hands on someone everywhere we go and see God move how he wants. How he wants. When he wants. Let me preach here about Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit counsels us. Holy Spirit reveals truth. Holy Spirit helps us overcome struggles. He glorifies Christ through our life. He reminds us of Jesus' teaching. He teaches us to pray and prays for us when we cannot. He reveals the word to us. He gives us wisdom. Holy Spirit gives gifts to encourage each other. He opened my heart to receive Christ and yours too. Holy Spirit places us in the church where he desires. He's the third person of the Trinity. He heals and restores. But he's so much more. We're going there. He's so much more. There's more. This is the part I couldn't wait to get to. Let's look at the original Greek word for helper or comforter. Pastor Gary, would you hand me my water, please? We're going to look at the original Greek word, thank you, for helper or comforter. It's a good place to pause. Because there's so much emphasis, look at this face. There is so much emphasis on comfort in Jesus' church right now. Comforter, two words in the Latin. I love this. It means to come with strength. Latin, fortis, to fortify. Wow. He comes with strength to fortify us. He heals us, brings consolation when we need it, but there's more. Parakletos. I love this word, the paraclete. This always appealed to me when I was young. Because I was in church one time, as I'm looking at this over and preparing, I was in church one time, 8 or 9 years old, and I saw this gigantic painting on the church wall. And it was this guy on the ground with a gigantic shield in front of him. And nothing could touch this guy. And I said, what is that picture? What's that about? And the guy who explained it to me said, that's the paraclete. That's the Holy Spirit. He's protecting that guy so that nothing can touch him. He's a shield. The paraclete, summoned, I like that word too, called to one side, especially to one's aid, one who pleads another's cause, an intercessor, a counselor, an advocate, a counsel for the defense. Now, there's two root words in the word paraclete. This is where it gets better. There's two root words there, para and kaleo. Para means, we're talking about the Holy Spirit here. It means alongside. Kaleo means called. Holy Spirit is one who is called alongside us to give us strength. Holy Spirit is one who doesn't just bring comfort only. He is the one who is called alongside us and fortifies. Now, I'm going with this somewhere in a minute. He fortifies us and fashions us with the strength we need to get back in the battle and overcome and win. That's not comfort anymore. He's fashioning us, church. He forms us. He puts us back in the battle when he's done doing that so that we can win. Holy Spirit gives us what we need at the right time. This is the right time. Holy Spirit is one who is called alongside us and gives us the power of God we need, not for comfort only, but to testify. That means bear witness of who Christ is. This is what we need. I want steak right now. Amen. Come on. And all the trimmings that go with it. But that's not what I need right now, especially right now. And you either. We need power, church. Amen. Come on, we need power. He calls us out of comfort. Here we go. He calls us out of comfort. He comes alongside us with strength. He calls us into battle. He calls us to get out of the foxhole and into the war. It's supernatural, church. And it's for now. Are y'all with me? It's for right now. We're at war. In case you haven't have you realized that? We're at war, church. We're at war. There's people that want to shut you down. They want to cancel you. They want to cancel us. It's coming. We're at war. We're in it. But it's a spiritual war. We can win it with the power of the Holy Spirit, who comforts us, who forms and fashions us, who takes us and gives us the comfort that we need. And he says, now come on now. Now come on. That's a good, good father. That's a good father. Let's go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Receive. The word receive there. It means to take hold of. It means to take hold of. It means to take the ball from the center. I got hold of it now. He doesn't. The ball's live now. It's live. To take hold of, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and to the ends of the earth. To take hold of and to make it one's own. I took that ball, that's mine now. Now I got to do something with it. Wow, I didn't realize how prophetic that is. We got the ball. He's given us the ball, church. Like, here's an example. If someone gives you a great gift, now be reasonable, okay? If someone gives you a great gift, like a really nice car, I guess that's not really reasonable. Maybe it is. Like a really nice car or a diamond ring. Maybe that's not real.
I believe that.
Okay? But, come on. A really nice gift, like a car or a diamond ring, ladies, or whatever. I should have let Michelle look at this first. Or maybe it's something you really need to get the job done. What are you going to do with it? I'm not keeping that car in my garage. I'm not going to put that diamond ring on my dresser. Ladies, I probably would. Okay? You're going to use it. I got a pair of Air Buds for Christmas. The real ones. Okay? Now listen to me. Listen. Listen, I didn't really want them. The ones I had, I thought were good enough. Are you getting this?
Come on.
They had a wire on them. They were broken down here. I had six layers of duct tape down here. Yellow. This is true. They're in my car. They were greasy. Okay, I used to mow the lawn with them, use them at work. Where are those things? I ruined a pair of Michelle's. But I got new ones for Christmas, and I used them. Didn't really want them. The old ones are still good, but I used them.
Come on,
we got to use this thing.
Come on now.
Use the gift. You will receive power. This is supernatural. God is supernatural. He's not my comfort buddy anymore. I'll need him as a comfort buddy. Sorry, the Holy Spirit can take it. I'm going to need that again. Power. This is going to get good here in a second.
Come on.
Power.
Let's go.
Dunamis.
Yeah.
Strength. Power. Ability. Force. Specific. This is right from the Strong's. Right, Gavin? Specifically miraculous power. Violence. Power. Mighty force.
That's right. Yeah.
Dynamite comes from this word.
Yes.
What do you do with dynamite? Say it again. Did you read my notes? You blow things up. Dynamite doesn't work if it's sitting in a box. Dynamite doesn't work if you don't light the fuse. Dynamite doesn't work if it's sitting in a container somewhere. I actually had this vision while I was putting this together, and I saw these beautiful, beautiful containers, all dust-free, many of them. And I asked the guy who was in the dream, what are these? Oh, there's dynamite in there. Why is it in there? When we take it out when we need it. Church, we need dynamite!
Amen.
A story as a kid with firecrackers and mailboxes and stuff. And I had two older brothers. I watched. Okay? Well, it went from firecrackers. I don't know the progression anymore, but I hear you do, Pastor John. Went from firecrackers to cherry bombs to M80s to dynamite. Yeah, Christine told me. Listen, being a Christian is fun. Being a Christian is fun. We get to blow things up. We get to blow things up. Yeah, like that. We have been given supernatural power, supernatural ability through Holy Spirit to demonstrate the gospel and reach our world. It's within us. You have received it in order to use it. Trusting God is key. Trusting God is key. God is who he said he is. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 real quick. Let's go, okay. Thank you. Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 12 to honor the word of God here. I left a couple verses out in there, but when the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, like an explosion, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 5. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. This is prophetic right here from us, for us. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together. There was confusion out. There's confusion out there, church, because everyone heard them speak in their own language. Then they were amazed and marveled and said to one another, look, are not all those who speak Galileans? Verse 12. So they, this is them. They were all amazed and said to one another, what could this mean? What could this mean? Church, the world is asking the question. What could this mean? Do you understand? The world is asking the question, what's going on out here? What's happening in our land? What's happening in the world? And that's not going to stop because there's confusion, there's chaos, and there's disorder. Not in here, but out there. And we need to get out of the foxhole, church, because we have the answer. And the answer is Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the answer. There's times I need comfort, and there's times I need to get out of the foxhole. This is one of those times. This is a word from God for the church. It is time to use the gift that is within you, that is being placed in there, that is lying dormant in your soul and your spirit, that my spirit has given you, not just for comfort only, but to take my gospel to the ends of the earth. I'm not a safe God. I went to the cross and I gave gifts to men so that you could receive them and so that you would use them to reach the world. You come in here on Sunday, me too. We need built up. We need edified because we're empty. But when we get filled up and we go back out and we give it away, church, you give power away. There's too many here that are self-destructing and going to blow up on your own because you're not using the dynamite that is within you. Use it, receive it, take it, and throw the pass out there. Have you ever, listen, wind. I'm going to share this last one, and I'm going to share a story with you, and I'm done. Wind. A mighty rushing wind. Wow. This occurs multiple times in Scripture, this word. wind, a breath, a breeze, respiration. It's the same word, the same meaning used in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. When God breathed life into the man he had fashioned. Oh God, breathe on us again.
Amen.
Breathe on us again, God.
Yes, Lord. Come on.
This was a mighty rushing wind.
That's right.
A sound from heaven,
yes,
which filled the whole house and caught the attention of the multitudes that were already gathered outside. They heard it. Listen to this. Listen to this. They heard it. They felt it. And it shifted the atmosphere like this one.
Yes.
Today.
Yes.
This is not a today word. This is the beginning of a day word for us. It shifted the atmosphere. What does wind do? I'm almost done with this, one. What does wind do? It blows. You ever been caught in a storm? A big one? I'm from Florida. I've seen many storms. On the outskirts of hurricanes. Those are a sound from heaven. What do you do when you're caught in a storm like that? You go inside and get shelter. What did the apostles do? They went into the storm.
Yes.
They went into the storm. That's where we're supposed to go, church. Opportunities abound daily to go into the storm. There's a storm out there. We need the Spirit of God in us as Christians so we can carry the presence of God into the storm. Wind moves. Stagnant air is stagnant. It's dry. It's humid. Jesus' church was never supposed to be stagnant. How do I know that? Matthew 11, 12. The kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. It's violent, church. When a soul comes to Christ, when a soul is healed, when a soul is restored, when a soul is set free, violence has happened in the spirit. And the wind came to get us to move. The apostles moved into the wind. The wind was the breath of God, the ruach in Genesis chapter 2. Ruach, wind, breath. Let me show you something. In Genesis chapter 2, when man was fashioned, he was just dirt and clay. And if you look up the words, I would encourage you to start doing that in your study. It says that God took his hands and he formed him and he fashioned him. Didn't we just talk about that? He formed him and fashioned him. And Holy Spirit and Jesus were standing there and he blew into them. Church, we're not dirt anymore.
That's right.
You're not dirt that gets walked on by the devil any longer. We have the Spirit of God inside of us. New life. And there's people out there waiting for it. It's time to get out of the foxhole. Oh God, breathe on your church once again.
Amen.
Stand to your feet, church. Breathe on your church once again and bring us life, God. Come on. You pray in your own words. Come on. For you personally, for a purpose. Breathe on your church, Lord. Oh, God, fresh wind. It's okay to say that. I know there's book titles about that out there. Father, we need fresh wind from heaven. Fresh wind, oh God. Fresh wind now, God. Now, God, January 15th, 2022, we need you to blow on your church again, Lord, and bring revival to our soul. Bring revival to our God speaking to people right now. You're hearing the voice of God right now. God speaking to you right now. Speak, Holy Spirit. Bring healing to those who need it. Bring comfort to those who need it, oh God. Fix us and fashion us, God, and send us into the battle out of the foxhole. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen, amen. Man, just stay in this place for a moment. Just stay in this place of prayer. I want to ask a question. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes because it just helps you focus. You know, I appreciate what our brother was sharing about the need for comfort in moments. And if you really knew his testimony, not very few here really know it. I mean, he's a living example of someone who has gone through a living hell, but he's back in the race. And so he knows from where he talks. But again, in light, okay, just close your eyes. In light of what the stuff you have and you need comfort for, I'm going to ask you the question. What do you really need right now? What do you really need? Do an inventory. Don't answer that quick. What do you really need?